Hey, it's John. Thanks for coming. This is Home From Here. And you're going to notice this sounds better than it usually does. That's because I'm with a real guitar player who knows what he's doing. So this is fun. Maybe we'll just do this the whole time. So anyway, that was us playing. We played ourselves in. Anyway, thank you for coming and listening. I am there's the first of the day and the last of the day. I am very psyched. I am with two musicians who I've known for a couple years now. And I was lucky enough to do like live Facebook feeds, and I was lucky enough to hang in their studio and do a couple of them. And they jumped in on a couple of my songs and made them sound so much better that I just stopped playing them by myself going forward because I couldn't take the pain. But can you guys just introduce yourselves?
Yeah. Well, I'm Becky Fleischer.
Yes.
I'm one half of the 426, and I'm here with my partner who can introduce himself.
Oh, I can, right? Yeah. I'm Peter Carucci, the other half of the 426.
And I'm John, and I'm not of the 426, but because I couldn't pass the audition, like you guys.
That's not true.
But we did this. We did do this song together though that I wanted to do. I do one song in the beginning just to get things cooking. There is nothing in the song about mental breakdown. There's nothing in the song about suicide. There's nothing in the song about my daughter. But I did write it anyway, and it happened.
And it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Jump in. Do you know the words?
I don't remember them.
All right.
I don't want to mess it up.
I don't remember
them
either.
But it is a gorgeous song. I do remember being like brought to tears by it when you
did
it.
Thank you. See, you're going to cry.
Exactly. I guess you're right.
What did we do? You sang a song.
I did.
You said Lisa Loeb, right? Stay?
Yes.
I legitimately haven't played that song since. I don't even remember it because you knocked it out of the park. And I'm like, I shouldn't be singing that anymore. You want to, there's a long line of people in that regard, but don't dare say you didn't know I love you. You know I love you hard when you say sorry. I'm not sure you even know what that means, 'cause you see pieces and you're careful, you step right in between. When you're stepping over me, I brought myself the ocean, 'cause the ocean makes more sense, and I can see here when I'm blind. Yeah, I've been drinking by myself. This woman's touching my hair, asking if I mind. And I say, please stay, you say no. I point up, there's weather, but you still go. And the waves keep crashing while the beach fire blows the ashes out to sea. Darling, with the rest of me, not a local, but the hard times and this old hat fit me in. They see my choices and my faces, and they know I didn't win. When you say I love you, I'm not sure you even know what that does, 'cause you see changes and you're careful not to be the cause. But do you see what that does? myself the ocean, 'cause the ocean keeps good times and makes it easy to pass the past. Yeah, I've been drinking by myself. The seagulls on that bar warbler, and I'm losing the contrast. And I said I'm dead, you said so. I got better, but you still go. And the waves keep crashing while the beach fire blows the ashes out to sea. Darling, with the rest of me. Myself the ocean, 'cause the ocean clarifies, you know the ocean's bigger than you. And yeah, I've been drinking by myself. I did play out one set last night, I barely got through. And we say today you don't show. I'm still swearing sorry on things I don't know. And the waves keep crashing while the beach fire blows the ashes out to sea. Darling, with the rest of me. Supposed to sing, but I love listening to you play guitar.
You're so beautiful, guys.
All right, I'll finish up. I'm sorry. I was just into what you were doing. Actually, sounds better with you playing. Let's do one more. Sorry. Myself the ocean, 'cause I can't find the words, and that's funny 'cause I write songs. And yeah, I've been drinking by myself. These new friends probably aren't friends. I probably don't belong. And I say, please stay, you say no. You got through my letter, but you still go. And the waves keep crashing while the beach fire blows the ashes out to sea. Darling, with the rest of me. Darling, with the rest of me. Man, I'm never playing that song again.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
I'm never doing that again now. I love playing with you guys.
Oh,
thanks, man.
Such a beautiful song. The lyrics of that song are so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a little. They only happen if you drank too much. That's one of those songs you have to have
drunk. Keep drinking then.
Yeah, you have to have drink too much in order to write it. So, when did you guys meet? Let's go. Let's do your story. When did you guys meet?
When did we meet, way back? Becky?
Okay, well, we met in July of 2015.
Is that right?
That's correct. At a fundraiser.
Why don't you remember that?
Oh, I do remember.
Oh, okay.
We won't tell the long version of that story, but we were doing a fundraiser for the Northern Westchester Hospital.
Cool.
So my band, I was in a different band at the time, and Peter was in a band of his own at the time, and there were three bands playing, and we were doing a finale number with Paul Shavitz and...
Paul Schaefer?
I'm not Paul Shavitz. Paul Schaefer. Exactly. Paul Schaefer. Yeah. And so that's how we met.
Oh, okay.
But there's a little more to it, because we were doing, what was that Beatles song called?
With
a Little Help from My Friends.
That's how you could play it.
Yeah, I was about to do it. And
do
so
it.
We're playing the song, you know, and when you get to the bridge, do you need anybody? Somebody hit an F sharp minor. And there are three or four guitarists over here. And I go, hey, stop. And Paul goes, what? And I go, someone over there is playing the wrong chord.
And I was the only girl with a guitar.
That's
so
right.
Guess who they all
so
looked
all
at?
All these guys went whoosh, and stared right over at her.
And I was like, no, you little MFers. I was like, absolutely not. That is not me. And I was like, here's the chord I'm playing. Why don't we go round robin? Because I can tell you who's playing the wrong chord. But I'm not going to point the finger.
And needless to say... That's how we met.
Who was playing the wrong chord?
Somebody else.
Somebody else to her left.
Okay. Who we will not say.
And it wasn't Paul Shaffer, though.
No.
All right, fair enough.
He appreciated that. He was very, very nice about me stopping the entire 20 people playing. Why are you doing that?
Just
he was gracious. But then after that, right, didn't you come up to sing with us?
Yeah.
Randomly,
yeah.
Like some Beastie Boys stuff?
I think we did
night?
A Blondie song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a Beastie Boys song just for fun. Because why not?
We're not on video, but there's going to be pictures of you. I have a hard time with you and Beastie Boys. Is that just me? Or?
We have a photo. We can like do the side by side of right now, and then yeah. I mean, I can do it if necessary. Yeah.
Kick it. Well, and then what happened there? We were looking for a new singer in our band, and we had reached out, and I think you.
Yeah, life just didn't line up then.
Didn't,
it just
right.
didn't really work then. But in 2017, we
right,
were coming
somehow,
around to do that
right.
fundraiser again.
And then somehow we met up to do a rehearsal on April 26th.
Yeah. So that's why
that's
we're
going to come back.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So
I
then
got it.
A year later, right, we've been playing for a year.
Yeah.
We're like joking around. We're going to form our music production company. And we're like, well, maybe we should just call it April 20th or April 19th or whatever it was. And you go, actually, that's a good idea because we're going in to incorporate on April 26th.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
One year later.
So do you guys have like 426 tattoos?
No, because I'm too chicken to get a tattoo.
You won't get a tattoo? You won't either?
I'm afraid of it.
I'm getting my first one. I'm doing a little unilome right here. Because Gramercy, my daughter, she's 14. You guys met her, I think.
Yeah.
She asked me if she could get a tattoo. She wanted to get matching tattoos with me.
Oh, wow.
And so we went through about 4 months of, you're 14. But she said, Dad, we went through this thing. I want to have something on me always to commemorate what we went through. But so I said, yeah. And then we looked up against the law in New York to get a tattoo before you're 18, even with parental consent or anything.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Huh. But I have a friend who had a daughter who got a tattoo. I think maybe they went to Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think you and your daughter should get matching 426 tattoos, personally.
Not sure how that would go over with the daughter. But. Yeah.
Well, no, everyone needs one.
No, see, because the fear is she's going to get a 426 tattoo and then she's going to get it changed to 420.
Yeah, that would be the fear.
I'm still trying to work that whole thing through, so I got to stand back a little bit. When did you guys figure out that you could write songs together?
Ooh, oh, wow.
That's pretty early, I think. Yeah, because I was working on a song. I think it was in 2017. Yeah, it was in 2017.
That's right.
And I was working on a song. Friend, and then, Fred. Yeah, and Peter jumped in and helped me with that. And then we wrote another song that year as well for our friend, our mutual friend, Fred.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fred. So we wrote a song for him.
Yeah, love Fred.
Yeah, and so then we just started writing.
My friend Fred.
Just kept going.
How does it work? I have written no songs with anybody. I was just making sure it was true before I said it. I've never written a song. How does it work?
Co-writing's a different thing.
Yeah, we also truly enjoy the process of writing a song, you know, almost
what
as much
about
as
the process of writing
product.
A song do you like?
Oh, all like
I
the mystery
it.
Of it. Oh, come on. It's so fun because it's like unfolding, like where does it go? Like the song is its own living entity, right? So it's like a child. You have no idea like how they're going to totally form.
That's right.
You have some input, but like they're going to live how they want to live. And it's like uncovering that like, little mystery. Of
so you, not knowing where it comes to, I was just listening to a podcast about this. So where do you think it comes from?
It's like floating out there in inspiration land.
So you get it, you make it, or you catch it?
It depends. I think sometimes we catch it. Sometimes we catch it. And then sometimes we create, like we
don't
like
even know. I don't even really think about. I don't think about that whole thing.
Oh, I do.
I don't know.
I listen to the same podcast that you listen to.
Oh, you do. Okay. I'm just open to it. I think. That's about it.
Open to it means it's a frequency that you catch, as opposed to something that you actually create and birth.
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, for me, it's both. Sometimes songs come and they just come all the way, which is rare, but it happens. And then sometimes songs will come and I'll have parts of it and then I'll bring it to Peter because I'm like, I have parts of a song. And then that we jump off from there. We do that a lot with each other.
Yeah.
Who does lyrics? Who does music?
If we're writing a custom song or a song for something really fun, pretty much Becky takes the lead with the lyrics most of the time, right?
Yeah.
Although, you know, we're writing an album right now. And we've written most of these songs for a great album we're going to hopefully come out with soon. And you know, in the process of writing some songs, I had an older song that was called Home, and it just never made it over the finish line. And it had a lot of personal energy in it for me.
Right.
And so I just brought it to Becky, and I was like, what do you think? And the next thing you know, we wrote this awesome song, and it's just it was
amazing. And it's called Home?
It's called Letter to Father.
Okay.
Because we realized through the process, really, this is a letter from me to my father.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a good example of a song that was like, it revealed itself as we were working on it.
How long did it take you to write it?
Well, you brought it in.
Yeah, I was writing it.
So you had it for a ton of time.
Maybe years.
You had it for years.
And I said, hey, what do you think of this? She goes, well, what do you really want to say there? I go, well, really what I want to say is.
That's so funny.
She goes, you can't say that.
Well, no, I said you have to say that a different way. That'll be more universally relatable because it was like you said, it had a lot of personal energy attached.
Right, but it also had like
people aren't
references to like my grandmother and a little too personal for
see, I think
conversation, but we were able to put it in there in the right way.
Yeah. Right. See, I go about it. So first off, best writing advice period I ever got. I got out of college and I was working for a financial PR firm. And I wrote a press release for my boss. And he came back and said, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm like, no kidding. He goes, no, seriously. I've had children write better than this. And I'm okay. And he goes, what are you? So this is the advice he goes. He goes, what are you trying to say? Mm-hmm. So I said, blah, 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 blah. He said, well, then say that. And I was like, oh, okay. That's good. So I've tried to follow that. I love when people make references in songs that I don't understand because it lets me interpret it the way that I like to. Either that or I'm a lazy songwriter and I just don't want to do the work that you're doing. I can't figure out what
Sometimes a nice, really deep or personal anecdote is really esoteric and makes people think a little more and, oh, yeah, and they can dive in.
Right.
I think we're of the approach more now, like the song we're writing, that mirror song, where we're just like coming out and saying it, you know, very honestly and candidly.
Right.
And we always ask ourselves, what are we really trying to say here? What are we?
Right.
Yeah. And it comes down to that. What do we really want to say? What are we trying to say? And sometimes you hear a lyric and it's like, ooh, that sounds so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Right. That's okay. That's
you know?
Beach Fires, that there's a line in there about a woman touching my hair. It was true. I was sitting down and this woman who I barely know came up and just said, you started touching my hair and talking about my hair. And for 45 minutes. And I was like, people are just bizarre. And I always use that as like a litmus test to see if I'm crazy or if the other part. When something happens, I'm like, all right, am I being weird? I'm like, okay, is this a hair-touching moment? Because when I tell that story, everybody's like, that's so weird. But while I was sitting there, I was like, well, it's weird. Or is it not weird? Or is this something people do? I didn't know. But that's so inside. But
yeah.
I like some. I'm jumping on your song. Can you do your song, please?
No. The weirdest thing about that is when we were doing Beach Fires just now, that's the one line I honed in on. I was like, wow. And because it's very visual.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Wow, look at that image.
She was sitting there talking to me the whole time doing, and I'm like, is this, and asking me if it's okay. And I'm like, well, okay, so I guess that's not a violation, but it's still really weird.
Anyway. Well, and it's also something people can visualize, right? Like somebody touching your hair is not so super esoteric.
Right.
So it is welcoming.
But it's weird when you don't know their name. That's it was really bizarre.
It actually makes me want to touch my hair. Right?
Oh, okay. As long as it doesn't make you want to touch my hair.
<We're up.
laughs> So anyway,
Letter to Father. Yeah, because you know, that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. Why don't you send me every single little piece of advice? You know I can't fight it, I'm too nice. Go on and give me every single little piece of advice you always do. You stole it all from Peter to go and pay Paul. You broke the front door lock to bank and pay for it all. Go on and turn your back on every single piece of advice you always do. I can't go home. You done so doubt, yeah, you went wrong. You should have known the price worth asking was nothing at all. I can't go home
again.
Held every single little piece so deep in my heart. Wore me down with that edge so sharp. For so many years I've tried to understand what tore you apart. It's time to take a stand.
I won't go home.
Yeah, you got your reasons.
Your reasons.
We went wrong. You should have known.
No.
Home,
yeah,
you got your reasons
for
what went
wrong.
You should have
known. No one,
the price worth asking
was nothing
at all. I can't go
home again.
It's tough to get a nice mix in my head there. I hope it was not too...
No, it was great. Yeah, it was fantastic. Couple questions?
Yeah.
What were you trying to say that you wouldn't let you say?
Oh, just a very personal story about my grandmother that didn't need to be verbalized ever again. That's about it.
Fair enough. All right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of like... You know, you want to put your emotions and things that happen to you into a song, but sometimes you have to be mindful of, like, it's not
always
just your story that you're telling.
Or the other side's weird. With me, I don't know if you guys get this, but with me, I'll write a song and everybody assumes everything, because most of my stuff's about mental health, everybody assumes everything I'm writing actually really happened and it's true. And I'm like, no, sometimes I just made stuff up. I wrote this song about a pirate, and he meets this woman, and it was inspired by, I saw a picture of one of those ships that has the angel on the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this song about a pirate and gold and riding on dungbees. A dungbee is a little tiny boat that pirates used to use to cruise around in. And I get asked all the time, did that really happen? I'm like, no, I'm not a pirate, man.
Sometimes you might be.
Right. But I'm old, but I'm not. So I always fight that off. The other thing I noticed is when you can tell people that have sung together a lot, because there's a lot of modulation and there's in terms of knowing what's complementing what when.
Mm.
How long, you guys know that about yourselves?
Yeah.
How long did that take to happen?
Really happened. And it's the funny thing is, so on that April 26th, when we rehearsed for the first time together in 2017, it had been 2 years really since we had sung together at that fundraiser.
Right.
And so we met and we were talking about, you know, where we were in our lives and what we were trying to do musically, and everything seemed to be lining up, and we were like, this is kind of crazy. And then I said, well, let's wait and let's actually sing together again, because we may not remember correctly how we sound together.
Right.
And P.S. we were singing with a full band then.
Right.
And so, which we would be again, but at the rehearsal it was just us. So we were like, yeah, let's kind of see how it goes when we sing with each other. And I forget, I think one of the first songs we sang was Jesus, Etc.
Yeah.
And you were like, we'll see if you can like throw a harmony on this. And we did. And like,
it's Wilco song.
And it was like, bam. And we were just like, oh my gosh. Like, wow.
You heard it.
Yeah.
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 And actually that's transformed strangely into like, you know, people will often ask us, what are your goals? Well, you know, we have no delusions of grandeur. We don't want to necessarily, you know, get out there and, ooh, I have a number one hit. Just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like fully shedding that cloak to say, we don't effing care what happens. We just want to make music.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe the goal is to someday go on the road opening for Wilco or the Avett Brothers or something in that ilk.
Right.
Which is interesting, because the first tune that we really probably jived on was a Wilco song.
Right, yeah. Right.
Which I don't think has harmonies.
It does not. That's what was funny about it, is that we were just kind of like, let's pick a song that doesn't have, that's not, you know, that we can make our own.
Right, right.
And so that we did it almost as a challenge. And so he started singing and I jumped right on. And it's not always easy, like, to find out, to lock your harmony in with somebody. So
it's...
Seamlessly.
It takes a lot of time to find somebody. To find somebody that knows where the holes are.
Yeah.
And can also stay out of the places where the holes are not.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a good pirate, you know.
Who knows how to navigate these waters.
You know, and get in a dinghy or whatever.
Well done, sir. Well done.
But to that point, you know, some words are nonsense. We wrote a few songs where... I was like, ooh, here's a cool riff, and you know, it just sounds like ooh, like I'm riding along easy. And the next thing you know, the next day, Becky like riffed all these lyrics to the plot of the movie Easy Rider.
Correct.
Or
oh,
is that
wow.
right?
Yeah. Correct.
Which then it just totally changed.
Yeah.
And so then we have these two characters that we fleshed out a narrative for that are not us. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it's
pirates.
Yeah. It's their pirate song. Yeah.
Do you ever approach each other with part of a collaborative project, but insist that some parts that you made stay?
Rarely.
Yeah, we really try to let the song be the guide and really let the song be the king.
Yep.
So sometimes, like, you can really, really love a certain part and just you may have to say park it over for another song.
Right,
you know,
right,
it doesn't
right.
belong on this one.
And you write custom songs now. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, we also, in addition to, like, coming out with an album of songs, we have a program that we created called Share Your Story.
Yeah.
Where we write songs with veterans, those in elder care, really situationally anyone who needs to share their story. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to go up to Wyndham, New York, and we partnered with the Wyndham Community Center. Is that what it's called?
Main Street Community Center
in Wyndham. And so we were really privileged over Memorial Day weekend to write a song with retired Chief Petty Officer Larry Cowden, which is pretty cool. That he shared his entire experiences of basically being a submariner during Vietnam and during the Cold War and being part of a mission that's credited with, which I think was recently declassified.
Yeah, yeah.
A mission let's
talk about it.
Yeah, right? which began the end of the Cold War.
Mm.
And so we were able to put it in song and it's very powerful. And then we were able to debut it with our full band over the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, nice.
So imagine the bookends of that Memorial Day weekend and then 4th of July.
Yeah.
And he came up on stage with us and his family came in and the full band played it with all the guys. And
I want to hear that song.
I know he was in tears, but so was I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to touch on that quick before you play a song, because if you don't mind playing that song.
I would love to.
Sure.
Okay, cool. It part of the way that therapy works is, having been through a lot of therapy, part of the way therapy works is just hearing your own shit said back to you.
Yep.
In from a different voice. And now I use that technique all the time when I'm at my day job or whatever. Let me just say what you said back to you so you hear. And it changes. Some cases it validates. Some cases it amplifies. And you get that in life. People do that to you regularly. It is... To add music on top of that, I can't imagine, but you would be able to describe what that does, not for you guys, but for the person to have their story, you know, to have their story, it's not validated by music, but it's definitely enhanced by music and interpreted in a different way.
Sure. Because music adds the emotion that's already there for them.
Right.
And so then when they're hearing it.
But it might also articulate it in a way that they didn't know.
Yeah.
Yes. And he found that, Larry Cowden found that when we were writing the song, that there are things he didn't think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He actually said after we performed it with the full band, he said, "This is the greatest experience of my entire life."
Yeah.
To which I believe his wife said, "What about me? Is that
right?" That's correct.
And his daughter, "What about me?" Daughter.
And what was his answer?
And he said, "Well, you guys are up there, but you know,
you guys are top 10.
Yeah, you're up there."
But you know, living in his case on a submarine for how many years?
Yeah, I mean, his stories were incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible for us to hear his stories. I've never met a submariner before, so I've been on a submarine, but I have never, like, talk to anyone who's ever lived on one that's been underwater. I mean, I've never been on one underwater, just to tour one on dock, you know, and it was in dry dock. But his stories were just incredible. And just the emotion and his feelings about his service to our country was incredible to hear him. And just like you said, I mean, we just listened probably for an hour. We just listened. Peter started playing on a riff. And I started shooting off some things that I was hearing or whatever. And he just sat there. He was kind of mesmerized, like, hearing it back.
Yeah.
And he was like, "I don't know how you just did that." And we were like, "Dude, you just did it. Like,
yeah.
Right. You gave it all to us.
Right.
It was all from you." But what's interesting about that is then we were playing a fundraiser, a golf outing.
This is so powerful. It's like crazy.
2 weeks ago, we were playing a fundraiser at a golf outing. And a gentleman was sitting at a table next to us. He had a retired Navy hat on. And so Peter says to him, in between songs, "I like your hat." And he says, "Oh, thanks so much." And he says, "We just wrote a song for a retired Navy petty officer. He was a submariner." And the guy looked at us, he goes, "I'm a submariner." And he took his hat off and showed us the double dolphins.
And
Wow.
And then so we played that song for him. And
did it lay him out?
It did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Which is really incredible. And so, like, it was for us, it was powerful then to go back to Larry and say, we just played your song for a total stranger. Like, this guy was in at a totally different time, a totally different place.
Right.
And the guy was, like, aghast. He was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, you just brought it all right back. And he was like, that's so incredible. Like,
can you do it?
Yeah.
Sure.
You
do it. It's called Crazy Like a Fox.
Okay.
We had a whole number of working titles, and actually Larry came up with that title, which is really cool.
So we dedicate this out to our friend Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Evening star helped in the Cold War, tracking Uncle Ivan at sea, marking all the hours minute by minute by minute. 50 days no one sees. Under the water there was a hot war, siren pressure around. Holding it together, there's no escaping. Making sure everyone stays free. They say we're the crazy ones, yeah, we're crazy like a fox, son. Going down deep where no one else will go. No matter how tough things got, there's no option not giving up. Didn't make it back. One transistor away from crushed depth. That's the mark that's gonna last. They say we're the crazy ones. Yeah, we're crazy like a fox, son. Going down deep where no one else will go. No matter how tough things got, there's no option not giving up. Doing more than you'd ever know. From below. Submariners of the silent force. Remember our brothers on eternal patrol. You never go in and come out the same.
Of our veterans out there.
Nice job. You got that's going in the Hall of Fame. You know why? Because you worked the words crush depth into a song.
Hey, right?
that is not an easy thing to
that's
do.
Right.
That is songwriting.
Yeah.
How long did that song take to happen?
So we had a 2-hour session with him.
Actually, we had most of it done.
Yeah, we had most of it done in that 2-hour session.
Okay.
And then we did one more, I think 1-hour.
Virtual,
just to like polish it up, tighten it up.
Right.
We took our notes and then we just kind of finished it up a little bit.
And in the meantime, we probably spent another, I don't know how much time on it, coming up with some other alternate lines to show him.
Yeah.
Do you do this commercially? I could hire you to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How do I do that?
Yeah. So our website, which is the426.com, which is F-O-U-R and then the numbers 26.com.
Right.
We have all the info on our website. So
okay.
That's actually how we started, because when we, in 2017, when we started writing songs, we were writing them for people. So that's like the first song I brought to Peter was a song I was working on, maybe for my daughter or something.
Yeah, that's
and so, right. You know, we were writing them for occasions. She was her bat mitzvah, I think. And so we were writing them for occasions. And we were like, you know what? This is so cool. People might like to have their events commemorated with a story.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the first ones we wound up doing was that the Westchester Land Trust?
Yeah. We did their 30th anniversary.
Yes. So we wrote a custom song for them.
Yeah.
See, I'm pissed off because I used to do corporate turnaround. In between corporate turnaround, I would take like 8 months or a year off, mm-hmm. and I would grow my hair, play guitar, and I would ghostwrite a book. And the books that paid were these vanity biographies. So somebody's partner would say, hey, for Christmas, I want to give my partner a book about themselves.
Oh, how fun.
And it would take me 8 months to write it. Mm. It's got to be 75,000 words minimum. And I'm like, all I had to do was write a song.
Yeah.
Why did somebody tell me that?
Sometimes the songs can be extremely challenging.
Yeah. You don't have very much real estate. You don't have 75,000 words.
We'll haggle over like one word. Like even in Crazy Like a Fox, there was a line, I can't remember which one it was, about how much real estate we have per line and what needs to be said. And so
I think it was this one. I think it was the second verse when we were going into the hear the whole.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were groaning, cracking, screaming. And that's exactly what Larry said. He's like, you know, you're down there, you hear the whole groaning, cracking, screaming. Well,
yeah.
And it wasn't, we were like, we have to fit that in.
Right.
You have to figure out a way that rhythmically it will fall.
Right.
And we also do this kind of custom song thing for corporations as like a professional or staff development, which is a heck of a lot of fun, too.
It's so much fun.
I imagine it would be a decent team building exercise.
Oh, it is.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because part of it, too, is that people, they open up with music. So what we try to do in our corporate team building is that we end up weaving in some of their favorite. We ask them in advance, what are your favorite songs? So we'll play and then we'll have everybody guess. Who do you think's favorite song is that?
Right.
And then everybody will guess and then they'll be like, no way. I never thought that you would like that. Yeah. Which just opens everybody
up. It's almost like Becky doing Beastie Boys.
Exactly.
Got it.
I'm with the program.
So picture you're in what you go to work that day and I'm doing virtual quotes right now. And you think you have to do this staff development and,
Lame.
And then out of the blue, we pop in songs, you know, here and there. And then they're guessing who their, you know, whose favorite song it is.
Right.
And then the culminating activity is like a happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And this is awesome. So in this happy hour.
Because you get to drink.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we actually divide the group into a couple rooms or groups. And they actually ghostwrite
over
a verse over a song that we've already written, usually.
Right.
And it really synthesizes and puts together everything from that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lyrical. It's usually funny. It's fun. People who don't know each other now all of a sudden are like really close. And then at the very end, we play it for them all.
Right.
And then we keep playing and having a cocktail hour. And then we actually record it in our studio. And we get it to them like usually turnarounds like a day or two.
Yeah.
And they're like, holy cow, I wrote that line. And so it creates agency and ownership in your company and your friendships.
Yeah.
It kind of becomes their theme song too.
Like, right.
Oh, yeah.
They'll use it to pump themselves up before like a big meeting.
And it's also, I would think, it would be exciting because music's either something you do or you don't do. And if you're one of those people that thinks I can't do music, to actually hear a thought happen in a song. I can't paint. So if I drew a stick figure and then you were a painter and you turned it into a portrait of somebody, that's what I imagine it would feel. I imagine that would be cool.
Yeah.
And it's also, once again, to return back to what we talked about at the beginning, the process of writing a song is so valuable that people don't necessarily realize it. And so we're in the middle of these like professional developments with Fortune 75 companies, upper level C-suite management. Mm-hmm. And then out of the blue, the gentleman or the lady who might be the most seeming business oriented just jumps out with, why don't we just talk about unicorns? And it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And it opens everybody up. And the process is so valuable. People are like, oh, I never knew you liked unicorns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just made that one up. Whatever.
So how big a leap is it from, because you have an album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How hard is it to shift gears from writing for a C-level executive to a personal album? Is it hard to shift gears? Is it not hard at all? Is it the same?
Not for me.
No, it's kind of the same. I mean, I would say the material that you're working with is very different.
Yeah.
So
right.
When you're working with custom songwriting, so whether you're writing a song for somebody's birthday or whatever it is, you get material from them. And so like you know kind of what you're working with.
Right.
You don't have a lot of agency. Our custom songs are truly, truly custom. That's not like you get 3 points in it and that's all you get, like which is like most of those canned songs.
They're already pre-recorded. We don't do that.
We don't do that. Everybody has an original song. It's an original melody and you get all of your stuff. Like every single line is going to reflect you and it's going to reflect whatever it is that you want to be said in the song.
Cool.
So we have a lot of raw material to work with when we're doing custom songs. But when we're writing for our albums, it's like the sky's the limit, you know, like you can write about anything.
Does the album have a theme? Does it have a title?
That's a good
question. Let's start there.
I don't know that it has a title yet.
But the
unifying themes are definitely like, you know, if it's broken, it can still work out.
But sometimes broken is good, like one of ours.
Broken pieces.
Yeah.
And then there's the song we were mentioning before about kind of loosely based on the subtext of Easy Rider, the film. It's just kind of way out there, but it leaves it open-ended.
Yeah.
Right.
So John, at the very end, you're not sure. Wait a minute. Did they wind up together? Is he alive? You know, so it kind of creates this kind
That's
of cool
funny,
narrative.
All my songs end with a question. Is he still alive? So I can relate to that.
Leave your listeners
suicide
wanting more.
Joke. Sorry. Do you, I know, right? Do you, do you have a favorite song?
It's so funny. We played a gig last night and we were saying that it's hard to pick because they're like children. So you can't really say which one's your favorite.
And you actually said that in the microphone last night.
I did because it's true. I like all of our songs. Some of them I enjoy singing more than others just because it's like more belty kind of.
Yeah.
More,
right.
And some are more or sound better with a full band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And others are more difficult. Yeah.
For me, it's always the one I just wrote. Whatever the last song I wrote is, that's always my favorite.
Because it's an earworm. It's like it's stuck.
Right. It's stuck. And I always think, now if I go back and just do what I just learned to the other stuff that I already wrote, and then I'm lazy and I don't do it. But I'm always hung up on the last thing I wrote. And this is an interesting question. Do you like your songs?
We do. I mean, I would say we've written songs that we don't play, that that there are some songs that we're just like, we wrote that. That's
good.
Done.
It's gonna live over here.
An exercise. It was practice.
Right.
You know, so not everything makes the cut.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And we're probably in the middle of writing about 7 or 8 songs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of which the lyrics have needed to change or it's just not over the finish line. Doesn't create that catharsis and that cathartic energy that it needs to feel.
Right.
Our song Broken Pieces definitely does that. It's really loud.
Yeah.
But and you know, it has a feeling like Ophelia from the band.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, groove and fun Americana rock.
What percentage of the audience is in your songs? How much do you care about their reaction?
I think we used to care more. I don't think we give a flying hoot right anymore.
Well, I mean, we like for them to like them, but groove along.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Like when we played the bitter end a couple months ago, end of April, and it was a cool feeling because this couple had come to see us in the middle of New Jersey the night before. Mm-hmm. They just show up in Manhattan like 2 hours.
They just came
front row at the bitter end in Manhattan, and we were singing. I can't remember which song it was. The next thing you know, I look over and they're singing the lyrics.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, singing along. And that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Seeing people who've heard an original song twice, you know, singing along.
Right.
That tends to happen. Like some of our songs.
Yeah.
You see people singing along. And
right. Yeah. I think I've kind of evolved that way too. I used to care a lot and then I almost completely stopped caring. Mm-hmm. And then when I shifted, because I used to write just all love songs all day long. But then when I shifted, when I did this project about mental health and suicide, I started caring again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want a reaction to the song. I wanted a reaction to the message of it. So I started aiming for that. I don't know if that makes you a better songwriter or not. I can't tell. It impacts I have found it impacts the way people experience it, though. If I'm aiming for you to get, one of my messages is, there's nothing that's not okay to talk about. It's okay to make jokes about it. It's okay to do whatever you want to do about mental health and suicide. It's all okay to joke about, because if it's not okay to joke about, it becomes stigmatized.
Right. Then it becomes taboo.
Right. Yeah. And then you can't be open about it. And that's when it starts eating you. So the first thing you do is, make suicide jokes. Don't talk about it. Make it the same as a doorknob so that people, and so I do that. And I find people not necessarily reacting to the song necessarily, but walking away thinking, oh, wait, I can maybe.
It's accessible.
Yeah, maybe I can maybe talk about this. So what do can you guys do a song from the album?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. What do you want to do?
What do you want to
Becky's Choice.
Oh, no, not Becky's Choice.
Is that a song? Becky's Choice?
It's not. No, that's not.
There's the title for the album.
Oh, hey. I like it.
There you go.
You heard it here first, everyone.
Becky's Choice.
Oh, Becky's Choice. Oy, oy, oy. Let's see. Well, let's see. Some of the ones I'd want to do, we'd need a full band. But I like Big Sky Joy, which you wrote out in Colorado.
Yes, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Set it up. Sure. What is it?
Yeah. Set it up, Peter.
Setting it up. So I actually co-wrote this with my cousin-in-law and my daughter. Although she says she never wrote any of it. She was in the room.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she likes it. And some of these lines are just, she literally was doodling on a page while we were, you know, actively writing the first verse. And so I took, on the plane home, I took some of her lyrics and some of the other things we were talking about, and I just crafted a verse around that. And and actually I wrote the chorus in my head on the plane on the way home.
And we should we have to give a shout out to his daughter Lucia, who's an amazing songwriter.
Yes. Oh wow, how old
she's
is she?
Phenomenal.
She's 17.
Oh wow.
Yeah, really impressive. And a gorgeous voice, and just really
plays piano, guitar, bass, drums.
Very get her in the band.
Very talented. I know.
Yeah, she does she some would of take our set breaks when we do like longer shows. She'll come and she'll sit and steal the show.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun. That's nice to have family. You want to hear a funny story? That's nice to have family involved with concerts. I'm bitter and pissed off about mine right now.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Because it's hilarious. So Trish and Gramercy are away on vacation right now. So I said, I'm doing a concert tomorrow night. It's Mount Kisco. It's from 6 to 8. I'm doing a concert. Nobody's going to call you while you're doing a concert, right?
Correct. Well, I mean, people do.
Right. But you would think, no. So I put the phone down right there because I'm timing myself.
Oh.
And of course, forgetting that I'm doing a concert, my family calls me in the middle of it. And it's hilarious because Trish's ringtone is the theme from West Wing.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Wait, so it's not just a ring. It's like a song.
Yeah, it's a whole orchestra thing coming out of my phone, going into the thing. And I'm like, man, I wonder what it's like to have a family that's actually into what you're doing musically. So hats off to you for pulling that off.
Yeah, it was a very fascinating writing experience.
Yeah, man.
With her. And also Ashley Shares is the co-writer of this.
Oh, cool. Do it.
Yeah, and so it's about that big sky joy that you feel when you're in Colorado.
All right, cool.
And it's really the story of, someone finding themselves finally in the right place and space.
Mm.
So it could be anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't have to be Colorado.
Yeah. And since I was writing the chorus in the plane, Big Sky Joy just made so much
makes sense.
Sense.
Yeah.
The Ponderosa smells so fine. Ripper float just comes to mind. Mountain lions by my side, hacking red rocks with my pride. Big city, rainbow sky, continental divide dies. Once I saw the northern lights, bleeding green across the night. Don't cost much, setting free, getting lost, finding me. Find it all, cause I needed more. Every day that big sky joy, big sky joy.
Oh, little mountain girl, grew up in an eastern world. Thought I'd give this place a whirl. Turns out found my perfect pearl. Purple flowers hum a chorus, loose their petals in the forest. And open fists full of colors, make that wish as you look up. Don't cost much, setting free, getting lost, finding me. Found it all, cause I needed more. Every day that big sky joy, big sky joy. Took a bite of the apple, but not sure what for. It's got the wrong flavor, and such a sad core. Took everything I had, don't want it no more, and traded it all in. Traded it all in for big sky joy. Setting free, getting lost, finding me. Found it all, cause I needed more. Every day that big sky joy. Didn't toss much, setting free, getting lost. Finding me, found it all, cause I needed more. Every day that big sky joy, big sky joy.
Nice, man. Oh. What's the website? Give me the website quick.
The426.com, FOUR26.com.
Any shows coming up you want to plug?
Oh,
we
yes.
do. August 6th, Bedford Playhouse in Bedford, New York. August 6th, it's going to be a great show. All of our originals, our full band.
From 5 to 7. So like that check last song, Big Sky Joy, really has a full band in mind.
Cool.
And all this stuff.
Cool.
All
right. Wait.
I think the tickets are on BedfordPlayhouse.com.
Website, but you can get to it from our website.
Our
as
website
well.
Has a link to it. It's from 5 o'clock on in a beautiful, beautiful outdoor setting.
And we keep our calendar up to date. We're on Instagram at 426 Studios, and we keep everything up to date.
Oh, definitely. Follow us on Instagram.
Yes. Like us.
Like us on Instagram.
All right.
Whatever it is, terrific. Follow us.
Thank you guys for coming up. And
thanks for
by the way,
us.
So much for having us.
By the way, Peter drove up here having to go to the bathroom.
So yes, that,
that's a huge yes. sacrifice. But
we appreciate you, John. Thank you
no,
so much.
Thank you guys for coming up. And just remember, please, too, the National Mental Crisis Hotline is up. It's 988. And I love that it's 988 because it puts mental health crises on the same platform as physical health crises and as property. So I think that's an important step forward. This is Home From Here. There, Peter and Becky. Matthew, thank you. I said like four times, I think. And we'll see you soon. Thank you.